Well, I'm not sure whether I'd say you will be pleased to know, or we are simply state the fact that we are way ahead of schedule. So what I will now try to do is to take us through and sum up the discussions that we have had in terms of what I have taken from what I believe the, if you like, to put into our summary of this meeting and the feedback for us to provide. And obviously you will get a chance to see the written document before it goes anywhere, but certainly these are some of the thoughts that I have tried to pick up to as we have gone along that would propose to include in a summary document. So I guess just starting at the beginning of the meeting and going through there in terms of the ISB activities, certainly the clear message, I think, that was certainly the most common or most talked about there was actually the importance of the disclosure and the streamlining project in relation to our input there. So the advice would be to make sure that that is looked at forthwith, as it were. Conceptual framework, I think that the key messages there were the question around the timing. The deadline of the timing is not quite so imperative as getting it right. That clearly there's got to be a balance there, but there are some significant important issues that need to be dealt with. General support for the tentative decisions so far, and that basically that framework is fundamental and that the purpose generally agreed. However, there are obviously some questions that indicates perhaps a lack of understanding effectively in terms of the current role of the framework as a whole, in terms of where it sits, in terms of it being standard. So maybe some thoughts around how the board might want to position or make sure that it's transparent as to exactly where the conceptual framework sits. In terms of judgment, the key messages that actually I think came out of the session that we had on judgment is that overall, and so the feedback that we'd give, strong support for principles-based accounting, recognised, however, that there will always be a need for some additional guidance, that we definitely expected financial reporting stakeholders to exercise judgment, so absolutely judgment should be involved. That perhaps the issues were that principles are not perhaps always articulated as clearly as they might be, and that the council would urge the ISB to continue attention to that matter to ensure that principles are clearly articulated. Generally, the council accepted that there some diversity in practice is acceptable, and where that arises, although not everybody agreed, disclosures should be made to explain how those conclusions had been reached. And I don't mean everyone didn't agree that disclosures needed to be made, but not everyone agreed that disclosures can overcome diversity. However, I think the general feeling, or the majority feeling, was that that was the case. And again, in terms of the bright line and anti-abuse, most, again but not all, felt that the board should not include bright lines and anti-abuse provisions in accounting standards, so for us to provide that feedback. However, more importantly, that we should encourage the ISB to continue its education activities and that those activities should encourage a principle-based approach. So I think that's the messages that we got around, or I got from you in relation to judgment. Implementation support group, sorry, I'm hesitating in that I'm maybe thinking that I should stop at each one of those as opposed to expect you to absorb everything I say and ask for any comments. So far what I've said, is there any disagreement or anyone would like to make any comments about what I've said so far? Have I missed something out or have I said something blatantly wrong? Yep, Ian.
I know I'm not supposed to have an opinion on this, but on the timing of the concepts project, I heard a lot of support for getting it done in a timely fashion, so I wouldn't like an impression that this body wants us to slow down and take more time.
I think it was I won't say a clear message. There was definitely a message to say that, yes, to do it in a timely fashion. However, there are some important issues that if it is going to take longer, this council would not get angry if you didn't meet your deadline. And there seem to be nods around the table with what I'm saying there. Charles wants to comment.
The phrase that I wrote down, and I'm supporting your point, Ian, is I think the view was get it right, but don't let it drag on.
So a balance, effectively.
If only time would lead to the right answers. I would happily take 10 years.
Okay, well, is the council happy that...
Just one other point. On the role of the framework, that is an area we're tackling directly and making decisions on. So by the time the exposure draft comes out, that should be clear.
Okay. Any other comments in relation to either the conceptual framework or the judgment that I have tried to summarise? Nope. Okay. The implementation supports groups. What I've jotted down here is that generally there is support for there is absolute support for the impairment support group. That, and consistent with our previous feedback, there is general support for actually having these implementation support groups. However, not for all. That needs to be where it really is an important issue. They need to be if we do have them, they need to be transparent. It's very definitely non-authoritative guidance. But the key is, in particular, around the ones that we are doing first, to actually do in a self-assessment to say, have they gone well or not, before we actually go and do an awful lot of them. Any disagreement or other comments to add to that in terms of feedback to provide? Okay. In terms of the research presentation that we had, we very definitely supported, I think it was unanimous from all of the comments, in terms of making sure that the problem was fully defined up front, so we absolutely encourage that there should be some flexibility around the type of discussion document or the type of discussion document. However, beware of confusion around calling them discussion papers, and beware of response fatigue. However, that in doing documents, that we would encourage that there is at least some straw man or options of what something might actually look like, because that way there will be better feedback. And in terms of prioritisation of what should be research or what should be dealt with immediately, I think the biggest theme coming through was to consider who the primary users are, that should be the number one thing to think about those in terms of priority. However, obviously things like materiality, pervasiveness, the newness of an issue should also be considered in that, and particularly then the ability to leverage from other external resources in terms of helping to actually say, well, where are the resources going to come from, and that in particular the national standard setters. And one thing that I jotted down, which I thought was actually, it only came from one person, but I thought was actually quite important myself, was actually thinking about the importance of the research suite, if you like, within the whole program. And so maybe it is the prioritisation or otherwise of the research suite that has got to be considered as well. And the comments that I've jotted down from effects analysis was really that, I think, just some general, specific, useful comments around matters to consider actually in the implementation of the effects, so your implementation toolbox. Does anyone have any... Does that sum up what you think we said? Yes. And then the role of the council. I don't think I've missed anything out here. Obviously that, well, we've really just summed that up, but I think the key message is that, yes, our number one priority has to be our number one objective. However, we accept the fact and endorse the fact that we should have a secondary objective that goes along with our independence, and it is around communication purely in an education fashion, not in an advocacy fashion, and that as an action out of that, we would recommend that the trustees look at changing our terms of reference, that if within resources that we can, or the least onerous method, I think to use Charles's words, to get a best practice toolkit to enable us to assist, that there should be, the ISB and staff should think about how communication with us can be better aligned so that we can help as much as we can with the program, and particular in between meetings. And so action plans and recommendation there really is to plan how we can actually do this going forward to the best possible way. However, the key message is that the council is here and wants to use its networks to reinforce, extend the foundation's vision and objectives. And then finally, what we've just talked about now in relation to the implementation reviews, supportive of those reviews with some specific comments and feedback as to how to go. So I think that is what I've noted down, as we'll go into, if you like, our report to the trustees and to the ISB. And if you think about it, that's quite a lot of good advice, I reckon, for a day and a half's work. So does anybody have any comments on any of that? Are you happy that effectively wraps us up? Okay. Okay, I was going to do it in the private session. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Ada's just reminded me, and in fact, we didn't know until actually halfway through this meeting, and he has already disappeared, that this is actually will be John Hitchin's last meeting, as he actually retires from PwC before our next meeting, and therefore will not be their representative, and in fact is not available because he's committed to doing something else at our meeting. So, John, in your ether, please take our best wishes and thanks for your contribution to the Advisory Council over the years that you have been a member. There we are. And on that note, I declare the public meeting closed. Thank you. However, we do have an administration, closed administration session. So if members of the... Sorry, we have a lot of observers here at the moment.